Hello, it's Lisa and Pete, and this is the first edition of the Catch-Up for the Week.
Today, a special edition of the Shaw Report, everything you need to know from the 2017 Academy Awards, including the Best Picture debacle.
The Canberra Bar has put an unusual ban in place. We'll tell you what that is as well.
Plus, what the hell is Bitcoin? The barefoot investor Scott Pape will try to explain it to us.
Nonna's love Lisa and Pete, and Lisa and Pete love Nonna's cooking. Made fresh now at your nearest pasta cup. This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth on Mix 94.5.
Shaw Report.
Well, what an Oscars day it's been. I mean, it was going along fine. La La Land was winning everything until it won that little bit too much.
Oh.
I'm sure you've heard by now, a monumental stuff up. And really, it's what it is. It's a monumental stuff up.
Yeah.
On it's people error, totally. I'm not too sure whose, maybe several people's errors.
PricewaterhouseCoopers released a statement a little bit earlier just saying that, look, sorry guys, it's us. Because they're the guys who count all the votes and everything.
Yes.
They reckon that they're the ones made the stuff up who, you know, they put it in the envelope in the wrong place.
Right. They had the wrong envelope and in the wrong place. They had one that said Emma Stone, who had already won for La La Land. Mm. And because if you saw this, I thought that Warren Beatty was being a bit of a twit.
Yeah.
And that's why it sort of came about when Faye Dunaway just looked down at the card and said, La La Land, get on with it. But he says when he opened up the envelope, he said, I saw that it said Emma Stone, La La Land. So that's why I was, you know, taking such a long time and looking at Faye and looking at the producers. I wasn't trying to be funny. I didn't know what to say until Faye Dunaway looked down and said, La La Land. That's it.
She kind of took over. Just say, I think there's a stuff up. Just hold it up and go, I think there's stuff. No, let's drag everybody up here from La La Land.
I don't know that she knew, because all she could see was La La Land. Mm. But she must have seen it. It's pretty clear. It's like, it says two things on one big card.
Yeah.
But it was Moonlight. See, I already feel sorry for Moonlight because we've talked about La La Land, not getting it, blah, blah, blah. And then we've gone, and Moonlight won.
Yeah.
Just like that. And Sam Mitchell, congratulations on your, you know, your Brownlow, all that sort of thing.
Well done.
And whoever won Next Top Model, the girl that it wasn't. And Miss Universe to you too. But this was really big. Mm. Now, Jimmy Kimmel was the host.
Oh, he's great.
I liked him.
Yeah, he was really good.
You know, it's no sort of halcyon days of Steve Martin acting out all the movies or Billy Crystal or anything, but you know, he was good.
Yeah.
He was better than the people they've had the last few years. Who have they had recently?
Well, there's your point, because that's how memorable they are. I couldn't even tell you who they had last year.
Remember the one where they had, was it Mila Kunis and someone? It was crazy. They had a whole bunch of people, but no one really.
Yeah, right.
This was the best one, I'd say, since Hugh.
Oh, that's
Jackman.
That's huge.
Who was, yes, he was. He was fantastic. But one thing that Jimmy Kimmel does, apart from taking the mickey out of Matt Damon, but everyone does that, is he likes to tweet mean tweets. So he had an Oscar edition of mean tweets. And during the ceremony, he sent a text to President Trump saying, we're more than 2 hours into the show and Donald Trump has not tweeted us once. I'm starting to get worried about him, he said before showing his text on the big screen above him. The tweet in question read, hey, at real Donald Trump, you up?
Brilliant.
And of course, Donald Trump had a go at Meryl Streep recently. He won't do that again. Oh, the whole world came down on him like it attacked Betty White. He said that she was overrated. Well, hardly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hard one to back up because she's not overrated. She's fantastic. And Jimmy Fallon, well, you know, he saw her there. He had to mention her.
And of all the great actors here in Hollywood, one in particular has stood the test of time for her many uninspiring and overrated performances. May I say, from her mediocre early work in The Deer Hunter and Out of Africa, to her underwhelming performances in Kramer versus Kramer and Sophie's Choice, Meryl Streep has phoned it in for more than 50 films over the course of her lackluster career. This is Meryl's 20th Oscar nomination. Made even more amazing considering the fact that she wasn't even in a movie this year. We just wrote her name down out of habit.
She is fantastic.
Oh, she was fantastic. And she didn't win. She doesn't have to anymore. Look, quite frankly, she's got no room for them. And Matt Damon, as we said, was his other focus. They're his two best friends in the audience, really.
Mm-hmm.
Poor old Matt, though. God, everyone goes him.
I would like to bury the hatchet with someone I've had issues with. Matt Damon. I've known Matt for a long time now. You know what? I've known Matt so long. When I first met Matt, I was the fat one. Okay? And we've had problems. He's a selfish person. Those of you who've worked with him know this. But Matt did something very unselfish, and I want to commend him for it. For real. Matt, as you probably know, could have starred in Manchester by the Sea. He was the producer. It's nominated for 6 Oscars, including lead actor. And he could have taken that lead actor part for himself, but he didn't. He gave that role to Casey Affleck, his childhood friend. He handed what turned out to be an Oscar-caliber role over to his friend and made a Chinese ponytail movie instead. And that movie, The Great Wall, went on to lose $80 million.
Love it.
Everybody must love Matt Damon to take the mickey out of him as much as they do.
Yeah. This came across our desks on Friday. Bitcoin worth more than gold as price reaches an all-time high. And we all sort of looked at each other and went, come on, what even is Bitcoin?
Yeah. I steered that exclamation. What the hell is it?
As much as I'm sort of into this stuff, Lise, I couldn't even tell you. And that's why we're going to the man in the know from barefootinvestor.com, the barefoot investor himself, Scott Pape. Can you please explain what the hell is going on here?
Bitcoin, I'll do it kind of as simply as I can. And I am no expert on Bitcoin. But if you think about it, it's basically a currency like the Aussie dollar, like Mexican pesos, like the American dollar, that's on the internet. So it was created by a mythical, some say mythical, dude called Satoshi Nakamoto in 2009. Now, no one has actually been able to find this dude, so we don't know whether that was an alias or not.
But I'm guessing alias.
But essentially, Bitcoin, it's an online currency, so there's no middleman, there's no fees, and payments are made via this thing called blockchain from one person to another without a middleman. So you can understand that the banks don't really like this and the governments don't like it because there's no interference. And the way they create these Bitcoins is by what I've called data mining. So 25 Bitcoins can be made every 10 minutes. And there's a fixed amount that you can make or mine. And there's 21 million of them.
But
so
where,
it's kind of like digging out gold.
Sorry, Scott, but where does the data actually come from? And what, like, because it's not physical Bitcoin that you can actually hold in your hand. It's on the internet. And,
no.
And on top of that, how do you buy some of this?
So what you've got is the computers or the algorithm actually makes it harder and harder for a computer to mine these Bitcoins by actually solving really complex puzzles. And it's designed to get harder and harder as time goes on. And then what you have is exchanges that allow you to actually trade Bitcoin. But the idea is that there's like an open source ledger so that you know at any one time anyone can look at Bitcoins and see exactly who has traded to what. So you can't, you know, for a lot of people with currency, for instance, there's what's known as a money multiplier model. So when you bank money at say, the ANZ Bank, they actually take a fraction of that money and lend it out to other people. With Bitcoin, there is a fixed amount. Now, I don't know whether I'm freaking everybody out by talking about money supply and things, but I guess the idea that I would say is this. A lot of people now have read the same news article as you guys, and what they're asking is, hang on, Bitcoin is going up, and because we're Australians, we love betting on things, right? We love it. So we're the biggest punters on the planet. So people are writing into me saying, should I be buying Bitcoin? Because, again, it's trading higher than gold right now. And my view is I look at Bitcoin kind of the same as I do Zimbabwean banknotes or Iraqi diners.
Or Monopoly money,
because really it's a currency, right?
Yeah.
So like any currency, it's only valuable to the extent that somebody else actually wants it, right? If they don't want it, it doesn't have any value.
Exactly. And if I had some Bitcoin, I don't even know where I'd find some Bitcoin,
but
if I had some somehow, can I go online this afternoon at, I don't know, the Iconic, buy a frock and pay with Bitcoin? I can't, can I?
No, there are some online retailers that will actually accept Bitcoin. I think WordPress allows you to. There are Bitcoin ATM machines that I have seen around in various shopping malls, but it is very, very much fringe. For me, I don't think you should invest in anything that you don't understand.
Absolutely.
And personally, yeah. myself, I find this really hard to understand. So I wouldn't be recommending anybody be investing in Bitcoin, because it is still very much a, you know, it's a very niche sort of a currency.
All right, Scott. Thanks, mate. Barefoot Investor, always a pleasure. Thanks for trying to break that down for us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Lise, why is this newly opened bar in Canberra making headlines? What's going on here? What are they doing, banning men?
No, it's called the Maple Bar, and they've taken the unusual step of banning male patrons from approaching and hitting on women. A move, the owner says, you're going to love this, guys, will bring a touch of class back to the city.
Okay.
Oh, you unsavoury lot coming up and asking what's a nice girl like us doing in a place like that.
Yeah.
It opened last weekend on the second level of the already established Treehouse Bar, and its owner, Mike Kadinsky, says his policy is an attempt to distinguish the joint, he calls it, after feedback from older suit-wearing patrons. I don't even know what that means, but I take offence. Older suit-wearing patrons.
Okay, so he's saying, right, so the Maple Bar must be another little bar inside this whole treehouse bar. Because,
yeah.
I don't know, I, you know, when me and my mates used to go out, like, if we weren't allowed to talk to the girls at the bar, what's the point?
What's the point of going
what's
out? You're not going out for the, you know, smell of beer and expensive drinks. But he said, they want a luxurious interior and the feel of a high rollers club. Look, Mr. Kadinsky, I used to work at the casino many years ago. No one hits on you more than the high rollers, trust me.
You used to work
at
the casino?
Look at my chips. Oh, very briefly.
Well, what did you do?
I dropped a couple of Black Russians on a lady, and that was about. Oh, no, you mean before that? Yeah. I was a cocktail waitress.
Were you?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
You had to wear high shoes, though. And you know I can't walk in high shoes. I carry a tray full of highballs. So then they put me behind the bar where my friends would come in and call me Shaky Hand Lisa. I don't know why.
Shaky Hand Lisa.
Yeah, Shaky Hand Lisa. But I was always.
Really?
Yeah, no, I didn't. Never. You pay full price.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was it. About four or five months.
Did you have any of the blokes that, like, hit on you at all? Did any sort of pickup lines they might have used or something like that? Or
Hey? G'day, love.
That's it.
Get us another bourbon and coke, would you there, love?
Wow. Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Classy.
If that's the standard, this guy's probably got it quite right, not letting guys trying to pick up women.
But I think it's a bit it's a bit mean to men to suggest that it's just men. Lowbrow. It's just men and that it's lowbrow.
I actually quite like this idea. I think this gives an opportunity for women to be able to go out and go to a spot. If, like I said, if it was the whole club, this is stupid.
They want you to approach.
No, they want you to approach so they can reject
you.
They want you all
to approach so that they can whittle it down to the, but they want, yeah. you know, they. Women.
Let's not talk about this because this is going to open up.
We're offended if the building site doesn't whistle at us.
A big can of worms from when I was like 24.
When you were like 24, that was just a few years ago.
Stop it. Actually, thank you. Appreciate it.
He goes on to say sometimes it can be intimidating for women if they're approached by a man. What, mate? 1926 rang. They want their license back.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5. Lisa and Pete, every piece of them is made right here in WA.
Does that sound weird?
Well, at Pasta Cup, every piece of pasta is made fresh right here in WA too.